And you might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Galatians and chapter 5. Galatians and chapter 5. And we have gone through the verses 22 and 23. And in going through them, we looked at each of the little words, love, joy, peace, and we went through and did those nine little words point to all the rest of the words that there is no number of how many others. It's beyond count, because the nine of them represent our Lord's wonderful person, God, in his magnificence, is God. And he's a very personal God in a very personal way. So we want to exercise God's wonderful person in a very personal way. So, and we looked at that fruit, and in the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to bring forth the benefits and all the benefit that Christ has made possible on Calvary's cross. To bring us what benefit? God himself, in a most wonderful way. To bring God to us in a personal way so that we can know God's awesome person. Now, and so the Spirit of God's ministry is to bring that, like the vine and the tree, the branch abides, the branch just enjoys a relationship to the tree, as it were, and the tree's life is able to flow because of the relationship. The tree's life is able to flow into the branch. It isn't complicated, very easy. You just attach the hose to the nozzle and the water runs to it. Don't put the hose on the nozzle, no water comes out. That's all. Connect the hose for the water to come. You don't make the water. The water's there. The hose makes possible the water in the hose. The branch makes possible the wonderful life by abiding. So don't confuse that. Now, having said that, so there's love and joy and peace and all of these things. And just a little background in doing this. The Spirit of God is what the context of chapter 5. It's all about comparing the works of the flesh, chapter 5, verse 19, the works of the flesh versus the fruit of the Spirit. And verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you trust in God, Spirit of God, verse 22 and 23, and don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, verses 19, 20, and 21. Don't fulfill that. And remember now that the flesh is, I have an illustration, I'm going to use it a couple of times, I think, just to ease it. Remember now when Adam and Eve were never born. You know that. You and I have all had birth. They never had birth. They never had it. They were never born. God just made them different. But, Genesis 3, and Eve is the mother of all living. And all, Adam and Cain and Abel and all, had to be born. They're born spiritually dead. Dead. So, and for illustration, maybe, We've used it, do it again, different way. And here you are. Here you are. You're born. You're born, physically born. Here you are. And you're what? You have no relationship to God. You're born spiritually dead, 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 dead. That's how you're born. Christ died on the cross because of sin. The wages of sin is death. Christ died and paid the penalty. So when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, because you're dead, you need life. You need the relationship. So you're going to go and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and God is going to save you in a most wonderful way. How does he save you? He sends in the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart to save you in a most wonderful way, to save you. This is always this. This is never this. Understand that? It's never. This is your flesh, your old nature. What do we know when we get saved? Christ died. It's to be Christ died for your sin, the gospel. He was buried, buried, buried. Got that? We keep using this. I'll show you to you. Now, so when we receive Christ, Christ brings to us a wonderful relationship to God. Where is our relationship to God found? In Christ. In you. He brings the relationship into your heart. That's what gives you life. Now, complicated, we make it terribly complicated. Oh, but it isn't. This is never is God using this. God allows all kinds of things. Now, I'm going to try to help myself and you. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, chapter 5, verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other. And so that you cannot do the things that you would. When you're unsaved, you do whatever you want. You have a will, I wish, I want, and you do whatever you want. That's what you do. You eat what you want, you go where you want, you believe what you want, you do what you want, and so does everybody else around you. That's how it's doing. Everybody's around you doing what they do. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, that's your flesh. So, when you get saved, verse 17, there's a conflict. Now you're all by your lonesome doing whatever. And you have no argument with anybody. They can believe what they believe. You believe what you want to believe. You believe how you want to believe it. Good. When you get saved, you got a problem that you never had, because now Christ in you is opposing the old nature. He crucified it, and it's to be reckoned dead. So here's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's a conflict. Now, conflict. Every day, 24 hours a day, this is how you live. Conflict. What God wants and what you want. I have it. Now, here we are, and using a silly illustration. There's the bank in front of me, and there's the bank armored car, and then we got the armored car out there, and the armored car is there, and there's this big bag of money, And no one's, the armored car had to go in and get something, and he left the bag there. Is that all right? Left the bag there. Okay. And I say, wow, why should I have to go to work? This will last me a while. So I go to pick up the bag in my old nature. But my new nature, Christ says, that money isn't yours, so you can't go for that bag. It's a conflict. Who decides? Do I take the bag, my old nature, or do I leave the bag? Who decides? You do. Watch. Your old nature, and here's Christ and God's word. And you make the decision. You make the decision. That's what your job is. You are the executive head of your body. And you make the decision every time. The conflict is there. What God would have and what you want in the flesh. And you make the decision 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You're the boss. You can't ever blame anybody else because you're responsible whether you take the money or you don't. You're fully responsible. It isn't some guessing game or some power. No. You think of, you know what these things. A person is what? Is able to say, I am. The same as God says, I am. I ought. I am morally responsible. I am. I am. I ought. I will. I have the right to make a decision. I don't need to be saved to make a decision. I don't need to be saved. I have the right to make the decision. And now I'm either going to make it to take the money or not take the money. That's what you do as a believer 24 hours a day. Do you understand the difference? So you don't sit there, oh, what's God? What God wants. You have to make a choice. Which is it? Am I going to be trusting God, the fruit of the Spirit, or am I going to have the works of the flesh? And there's a conflict all the time. And the only one that answers that conflict is you. I choose to take the money. I choose to eat this. I choose to do that. I choose to do this. That's what you do. It isn't a trick. It's what you're made. It's how we live. It's how we think. It's how we get saved. And God does a wonderful thing and enters our heart and life. And he becomes our life in a most awesome way. So we're to what? I can go and take the money. That's my own nature. Or I can trust God. That's Christ in me. I can trust him. And the Spirit of God's ministry is to bring the fruit of the Spirit, the branch tied to the vine, and I'm going to be able to go and enjoy all those benefits. At the same time, I know this. I know this. It's very real to me. It never goes away. But I also have this. And I choose to make a choice. I choose to trust God. Do you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31 of that. Now, what do we know? It's very practical, simple, and works. But boy, you better know what you're doing, because it isn't some trick, you know. This fellow's super spiritual, baloney. He may be religious up to his eyeballs, but that doesn't make him, he's still dead in sins. His old nature's the same as yours and mine. So don't get tricked about that. So either look to God, and you're trusting God, or you're not. So therefore, 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you do in word or deed, whatever you do, do all, to the glory of God. Okay. So I'm eating. Eating. 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1, 2, and 3. Whatever you eat, with thanksgiving, believe, and God sets it apart. That's a promise. I can either be believing it, that's on my new nature, Christ in me. I have my old nature. Now I can just eat, and I'm full. And I'm satisfied in myself, which is fine, which we do. But I'm saved, and what can I do? I'm going to eat. Same mouth, same stomach, same digestive system. But I'm going to go what? I'm going to look to God to eat. There it is. And my old nature would just do it, doesn't care. But because I'm saved, and this, I don't want a conflict, I want to honor God. So that I have the fruit of the Spirit of God. So I'm going to look to God, and what do I know? I'm going to receive and say, thank you, God. I choose to understand the difference. I choose to believe. I choose to believe and say thank you for my food. I didn't have to, but I choose to. I have the right to make that decision, and I choose to do so. Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, you're just sitting there going to sleep. Go. Colossians chapter 3. Right next, not far away. I'm getting sidetracked here, but. Colossians chapter 3. And putting it to work. Chapter 3. Oh, I'm sorry. Forget. What can I tell you? Oh, there it is. All the world changes. Get the idea. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, in speaking or doing, do all speaking and doing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Always giving thanks that for that relationship. And you go from chapter verse 17 over to verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, wholeheartedly, with all your heart, heartily. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. So now practice. Here's eating. And I'm eating. I make the decisions between the two. And I choose to eat in the light of God's word and say thank you for all that I have. When it comes to work, school, driving the car, opening the refrigerator door, whatever I'm doing, I'm going to do what? Thanking God. Back over to Ephesians, and in chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And picking up, please, in verse 18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. The fruit of the Spirit of God, love, joy, peace. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, verse 20, giving thanks What's that next word? If you can just get it? Can you see it? I'll see it. I put my glasses on again. It's always. So it doesn't matter what time of day, whatever I'm doing, always giving thanks that I'm saved and that he's there. And I choose to do that. Whether I'm driving the car, thank you. Opening the refrigerator door. Taking my medicine. Thank you. That's why it says always. You say, well, everything isn't thankful. No, everything isn't. But God in you is very thankful. That's why you're thankful. 24 hours a day. You're saved. And God's there to give you what you don't have, his life. Otherwise, all you've got your old nature. And your old nature, that's called carnality, flesh. That's why, I get ahead of myself, that's why the judgment seat of Christ, you'll end up, you didn't do much of this. You end up with wood, hay, and stubble. That's why. And I'm afraid I don't see anything in the scripture. I'm sure you do better than I do. I don't see a majority of Christians. I don't read that. I don't see that. I don't see it. I haven't seen it in my little life, going to being in church and all these. I haven't even seen it. So lots of wood, hay, and stubble. And God tells you most are going to be there. If the righteous are hardly saved, the believers, if they're hardly saved with difficulty, I'm not going to find it because you didn't do it. I'm going to do everything. Watch. I'm going to do it all. I'm going to preach for the glory of God. And I can give you the nicest message right now, if I could think of one, and give you a message. And you can do it. Couldn't I do it? I could get up here and sing. I could sing. If I could sing, I can do it. And you say, wow, that's a blessing. It was all of this. All of this. But you preached, I preached 10 years. It was all of this. All of this. But you said the Bible. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Our Lord said, Matthew 7, and you're going to say, I cast out demons. I did everything. And the Lord said, I never knew you. I never knew you. Isn't that sobering? I never knew you. I didn't know you. But we did it. But I never knew you. Boy, that's sobering. I'm trying. It's just simple. You call the shots. You receive Christ as your Savior, and you call the shots on how it's going to go. And you either are going to be trusting God, you aren't making it happen. You aren't full of love and peace and joy and meekness and all. This isn't you. It's never you. Never. It's Christ. Christ has given it to you. When you received him as your Savior, he brought in all of that which we don't have to give us that wonderful exercise, that wonderful life. And if we don't avail ourselves of it, then I have to understand it's fine. That's what we're doing in the evening in that. God owns you to have his, so that you can own this. You own this. This is mine. My life. Wow. I control it in the sense of enjoyment. I control it. It's mine. Wow. Yeah. Now, I think it's simple. Because I don't have to do how much. How much do I do? I already got this. from top to bottom, my old nature. It goes to bed and gets out of bed. And I'm saved. And I have the, and you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And the Spirit of God to bring you the life of God. I have both of these. I'm not going to have more of them. I have to die to get rid of this one. I have to die. You would say, thief in the cross, I guess, had a pretty good deal. Pretty good deal. Because the Lord said to him, not to the other guy, he said to that thief, the bad guy, today you shall be with me in paradise. Today. Today you shall be with me. You see, but God saves us. Why? To be his witness. But I already have this. I'm not going to have more of my old nature. I just have to live with my old nature. And the longer I live, I have the experience of what? Living with my old nature. So that's why we get older, we can get stubborn and all the other things. Because we live with our old nature so long, it just seems to have, it just doesn't go away. No, that's right. We got an old nature and we have a wonderful Savior. And all we have to do is trust him. That's all we do. In a most wonderful way. And we don't, this doesn't contribute, this is there. I'm not going to have any more of our Lord's saving grace. I got them. Use that, keep that in mind. Didn't mean to lose the watch. Keep them in mind in the morning. It'll help you. Am I trying to, are you getting there? I don't know how to tell you. And most believers have no sense of this. Don't have any. Bubble, hear another sermon, do another thing. So, no, I want to be able to what? Enjoy what we're reading. I want what we're reading to find its home in Christ, the Word of God. So all of those words are yes and amen. So I can take the Bible in Christ, and he brings me the reality of those words. The words that I speak unto you, John 6, 63. A spirit and life. And they are that right now when I'm reading, right now when we're looking at it. It isn't changing. God makes them real. And I can look to God and say, God, help me understand that. And because I'm looking to you. I'm not looking to my old nature to do it. I'm looking to God to do it. That's what I'm doing. If I don't do that, it won't work. I don't. You there? It is working. It either is or it ain't working. All the rest of it's a lot of activity. And we'll sing three more hymns and say something and go home. And go to another something. I'm trying to help her. Now, if we can, since we had a diversion, and I hope it helps, I got to remember all that we just did. Because what I just did, I gave you that, which is what it really is, and you'll never, it isn't understood. I'll say it carefully. It is very rarely understood, the simplicity of this. Rarely. How do you know? Just look at believers in churches and conferences. Just look at them, and you'll know. Because you're looking for it. You're looking for what? I'm looking for me to be able to get to enjoy God's wonderful saving grace in a very real, consistent kind of way. That's being a believer. That's why the early church was so powerful, because they know that. And the Spirit of God filled them. And boy, you don't mess with them when they're filled with the Spirit of God. You don't mess with them. No, You know, because they're so set in understanding. The light is so bright in the heart. The light is bright in the heart. And all the darkness in the world can't put it out, ever. It can't put it out. Wow. So, here's Galatians again. Oh, I'll give you one more on that, since we did. 1 Thessalonians. So you keep that in mind. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, as you would guess. Chapter 5, in verse 16, 17. Chapter 5, and picking up in verse 17. Pray without ceasing. 18. In everything, just tying that together with what you read in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What is the will of God for your life? To be giving thank you. To be saying thank you. That's the will of God. I want to go to the will of God. That's the will of God. And if you practice that will, if God wants to send you to the moon, he will. You'll be in the will of God by doing what? Being thankful in everything for God's. And we just did it on Wednesday. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. Thanks, see if you remember it. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, the gift of Christ. Unspeakable. Unspeakable. I think we did it Wednesday. But even if I didn't do it Wednesday, there it is in chapter 9, verse 15. The unspeakable gift. Yeah. Thank God for it. Live with thanksgiving, and God will work the rest of it out. Now, so, having said that, over to First Galatians and in chapter 5. And just running through, we just did them, now run them together in one great movement. Chapter 5, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit, God's wonderful, wonderful life, is what? God brings to us as the vine, as the tree and the vine. God brings to us the fruit of the Spirit is love. Love, God's wonderful person. We're looking at that. Not only does God want the branch bring us his love, it brings us his joy. And you know, over to 1 John, the Gospel of John, do that one. Gospel of John, chapter 15. John 15. And picking it up all over the place. John chapter 15. And you'll note, chapter 15, verse 10. If you keep my commandment, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that you can enjoy such a loving relationship, that your joy might remain in you, my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full, that my joy is able to become your joy, because you're trusting and abiding. The branch is trusting in the vine, trusting in the tree, so that it, and then where you're thinking of that, love, joy, peace. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And you remember, if I can, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. not as unto the world, not as unto the world, not as the world giveth. I don't give you that kind of peace. I give unto you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. My peace I give unto you. Philippians 2, 4. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. The peace of God, verse 7, that passes all understanding. You don't understand it. No more can I can understand God's infinite person. I can understand. I certainly can enjoy it. I certainly can honor it. We live in the universe, a magnificent universe. And the more we explore it, the bigger it gets. God did all of that. He threw it into space, Genesis 1, to be a decoration like the flowers over this little planet called Earth. And he threw it into space, and we're able to what? Do I understand? Does anyone understand the galaxies, the immensity of zillions and millions of light years apart, distant? No. But I live in it, and I can say, God, boy, is it big. Is it big? I enjoy the magnificent. Could you make a flower? Oh, no. Oh, no. God makes a flower in all of its intricacy. And we can enjoy a flower. We can see the flower and enjoy it. I just moved my hand. Did you ever think, look at your hand. What would you do without your hand? Let alone your thumb. You have no idea how much you use a thumb. If I took your thumb off, boy, you'd miss it. Because all those parts, God did that. I have no idea, God. I could go to medical school and be a hand doctor. And I still am a marvel. I marvel at what you made and how it helps itself, heals itself, does what it does. And you put fingerprints on it so we feel and can tell the difference. But those fingerprints help us understand the difference, feel, so we can feel the difference. God, you're bigger than me. Bigger, yes. The peace of God passes all understanding. And as you keep going, in Galatians, as you know, picking up, please. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, long before being angry, long before being angry. God takes a long time, long before being angry, and we did all that, the kind of thing. Unfortunately, we can get angry and do it fast. But God's anger stays way back. God waits, stands back. God's long before being angry. What happens if he acted quickly like we do? But he doesn't. He's long before being angry. Long before it. Yeah. Yeah. And God, where would we be? Where would we be if you didn't make a distance? And you do. You do. The fruit of the Spirit of God is going to bring what? God's wonderful person, actively pursuing the outworking of his wonderful life in your little old life and mine. And his life is outworked in a most wonderful way so that you can enjoy it. Otherwise, you don't have it. You can be in church up to here. I don't care. I don't care about that anymore. It's a waste of time. No, I don't want that. No, sir. Why would I substitute? Well, I got a thing, I think I found it down here. Some down there. Down there. Oh, yeah. That's a remnant from a long time. That's a piece of dead wood. I don't want to be dead wood. I want to be a living vine. I don't want to be a piece of dead wood. I don't want that. all the dead wood gets together and sings. See, I don't want to do that. No, you want life. You want life. That's what you want. Otherwise, you don't have. That doesn't mean you aren't saved. Because if God saves you, you bet you're saved. You aren't saved because of you or me. We're saved because of Him. And you know if you're saved, if you received Him. And man, God isn't going to dump you because He paid for you. You're part of the body. Even though you end up with wood, hay, and stubble, you're still there. That's wonderful. Sobering, wonderful. And therefore, we pursue this. Why? Because we don't want to get back in Egypt like Israel or in the wilderness. We want to go forward into the land of promise. And we want to have all the benefits. But we can't have the benefits. And we want to have them. I can't go back. I can't be unsaved. Now you say, who do you think you say? I'm nobody. But He said, if you receive me as your Savior, you are safe in my hands. And no man, John 10, can take you out of my hand. So you're safe. Now, whether you enjoy that, that's up to you. I'm going to practice that. So I can't go back and be unsaved. I don't want to be unsaved. I just want to enjoy. Therefore, God, kick me in the pants, as it were. Spank me on the bottom and get me going forward. That's what I'd say. Yeah. Now, so having said that, long-suffering, long before being angry, and in the process, I am also able to put up with much. Why? Because God's long before being angry with me, and thus I am long. That rolls out. All that, as I'm trusting God, and here's my old nature, and I choose to be looking to God, and I'm looking to God with thanksgiving, and he's going to bring to me. It's long before me. I goofed. I fell down. But God, what are you doing? You're faithful and just to forgive me my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So God, I confess, I'm looking to you with thanksgiving. Thank you that you took care of it in a millisecond. It's all done. I don't have to wait 10 years. No, it's done. Finished. Long before being angry, God. What happens if I didn't see my problem and didn't I'm carnal and not with it? Then you wait and you give me space. You give me space to get with it. You're long before being angry. Thank you very, very, very much. Where would I be if you weren't long before being angry with me? Because I just did something stupid again. Now, so therefore, in the process, and long before being angry. And picking up, if I may, back over in Galatians chapter 5, long-suffering, gentleness, usefulness. And remember, we did all these things in detail a little bit, and we saw where it was as you turn the pages of your New Testament in particular. And if you did Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need, N-E-E-D, need. Conscious supply, gentleness, use, to use, useful, to be useful, to be practical, useful. I'll provide all you need, all that you need. That's what I'm going to do. Where's it going to come from? You just keep abiding, and I'm going to do, I know everything you need. I know what you need. Sometime you need a good spanking. Sometime you need to go, like in Philippians chapter 4, 11 and 12. How did you learn to be so where you were, Paul? Such a wonderful life. Terrible difficulty, but wonderful life. Where did you learn that? Well, God met my need, met my need. I didn't think I needed to get disciplined. I didn't, but God did. God said, I'm going to give you a space where you don't have what you want. I'm just going to take it away. I'm not going to let you have a need. I'm going to teach you. Isn't that what you did when you were growing up? Sometime the family, if they're with it, try to help you learn what, how to learn. Watch where they're going and try to help them. What the hell? If they think they're up here, help them. Get down low. Get down low. And like I said to some young people, when you're trying to go forward, don't go too fast. You don't have to worry about it anyway. Just don't go. So make sure you're going carefully. The steps of a good man, Psalm 37, are ordered by the Lord. Take the steps, but don't go too fast. You'll get ahead of yourself, and pride, P-R-I-D-E, will step in. And you don't want to do that. Where you're able, you're comfortable with what you're doing. No, you want to be confident in God's grace in your life with thanksgiving as you go forward. So now, and faith, goodness, I am able to practice that harmonious, God's wonderful, wonderful person doing what? Okay, keeping all the pieces. God has all the pieces perfectly together. Everything is good. God brings that, all pieces are together. Everything about each life, your life, my life, the country, the world, history, everything is in order. And it's good. It isn't all good in that sense. It's good. It's going to come out good. Going to come out good. Goodness. And faith. Faith, the body of truth to be trusted in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And in the process, and meekness. And remember what we did, the yoke around your neck and the meekness. You're going to go meek. You're moving meekly. Excellency, measurement, standard, to admire. And you're looking. So as the yoke is on the neck, the ox goes, and the new young ox trying to learn how to go onto the yoke has to learn from the old ox. And the old ox knows just what to do to go. Doesn't fight the yoke. The yoke's very heavy. It doesn't fight the yoke. It goes with the yoke. It goes with God's will. Our Lord Jesus Christ did what? He moved in his perfect humanity in the will of God. Whatever the Father wanted, he moved. He moved. So when we get under the yoke, we have to learn. And God brings to us his gentleness. And God helps us to go with it so we don't get all panicky. We don't rush. We don't fear, falter and fail. No, we're looking to God and has all the pieces. So God, it has to happen now. No, God said he should supply all your need in the nick of time. He's never late. Shouldn't he could do it? No, God said, I'm never late. I'm never late. I'm always on time. So when you said it should have happened, but Lazarus is dead. That's true. And I waited, you know, John 11, and I waited till Lazarus died. That's why he stayed in the other side of the Jordan. Why did he stay? He told them that. I'm staying here so that Lazarus can die. So when I go across the Jordan, I'm going to find a dead man. And that's what I want to find. I'm going to teach you, Peter, James, and John. I'm going to teach you about God's wonderful glory. God is doing everything on time. Never late. The world is in darkness. And in darkness, it heads oblivious to God's working and the light. But we, children of light, walk in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ keeps washing us. So we stay right in it. We're comfortable. We have our old nature. We have our old nature. But we walk in the light. So this doesn't bother you. The worry, want, doubt, dismissing, disappointment, discouragement, intellect, all the pride, all of these things are there. But I'm not trusting them. That's in the, I see that. How did you see that? In the light. God, I see it. So I'm not going to trust it. So I'm going to walk in the light. I know I got an old nature. And my job is to keep choosing to do God. Whatever you eat, whatever you drink, whatever you do, I make the decision. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to be thankful in whatever I have to do. So God, thanks. And here we go down the corridor of time. And whatever you're doing, meekness, and as in the last word we had, in temperance, self-control. And God is in control. And as he takes in your heart, and you become in control. You don't panic. You don't, Psalm 37, you don't fret and fuss and fume, trying to work everything. You have to do that. No, you're resting in God's wonderful person. It's rather simple. In fact, it's so simple and real. It can't be true, right? It just can't be true. But boy, it is. Anyway, thank you for that, your patience, and God help us. Thank you.